the moment you've all been waiting for. Tonight's speaker, Dave S. from
Chula Vista.
My name is Dave, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is July 4th, 2012. My very first speaking engagement was a 45-minute speaking engagement, and I lasted 8 minutes. I'm hoping to do better this time, and that was why I was hoping for the birthdays to go a little longer. But here we go. I was born April 15th, 1978, to two CPAs. For the longest time, I thought I should be an accountant because I was born on April 15th. Both of my grandparents worked in aerospace, one for Lockheed, the other for Hughes Aircraft. So aviation was in my family too. There was a brief stint as a pilot for a little bit. We'll probably get back to that. And I grew up in a very loving nuclear family. No divorce or abuse. My parents were always there for me. My father's my hero. He owned his own firm and was a very hard worker. And he would do anything for my sister and I. Growing up, after school, we would go to his CPA firm, and they would put us, me and my sister, in this spare office, and we'd have a TV there. And I always remember going down to the video store and renting movies. So movies have played a huge part of my life, too. It's kind of where I know I drink Pepsi, and I wear Nike shoes because of Back to the Future. That was big Marty McFly thing. And John Wayne, watching John Wayne movies with my father and my grandfather, the way he would drink Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapon, the way he was drinking, looked cool. And if you remember the Lethal Weapon movie, Mel Gibson was crazy in that, and he was like suicidal. And for some reason, I thought that was cool. I was young. And I remember my very first sip of alcohol was Bacardi rum in my parents' liquor cabinet, and it tasted god-awful. I did not understand what everyone was talking about. What are, you know, the commercials with everyone drinking? They look so happy and smiles on their faces. I didn't get it. I put it back, and I never thought about it again till a few years later. I have an older brother who's 12 years older than me. He played a big part in my adolescence. He was a hero of mine. I remember him getting in trouble a lot, smoked Marlboro Light cigarettes, and we would kind of sneak off together. I was 12, he must have been 24 at the time, and he would let me smoke cigarettes with him. My brother did it. The people in the movies were doing it. I thought it was the cool thing to do. And one of these trips, my brother went down to Wilmington in Los Angeles to some junkyards and bought crack cocaine. And because I was there, I think maybe he felt like I needed to partake in it. I don't really remember the particulars, but I remember smoking crack cocaine at 12 years old and before I had even really gotten drunk. I remember like just fiending so much after it. I didn't understand that either. Why would someone feel that, you know, feel really good for 10 seconds and then this downer for minutes? It didn't make sense to me. That didn't last long. So then I get into high school and, I learn about marijuana. It put my anxiety at ease, and I felt a little bit normal. And it was great to like watch movies too. You could watch a great movie, eat pizza, and you just felt kind of calm. it was kind of a romance made in heaven. And I took to that. I remember I needed to buy a bag right away. I'm sure I smoked a joint or a bowl, and I had to have my own bag right away. It was It was a match made in heaven. I'm kind of shorter in stature, and that always really bugged me. And what I found out later, that this fear of like not fitting in and the drugs, the marijuana kind of took that anxiety down, and I just felt better. During this time, I wasn't doing that great in school. Smoking marijuana made me not as, I didn't have a lot of energy to do schoolwork. I was busy watching movies and eating pizza. So I was flunking my native native language, English, which is hard to do. And I used to love to read books. I was a big, avid Stephen King reader. It didn't make any sense. But here I was flunking English. And we decided to move to Iowa from Los Angeles. So I went from a class of 4,000 people to a class of 20. And it was, I loved it because I was the cool kid from LA. And I never had to worry about not fitting in because everyone just, they looked up to me. They were wearing the Z Cavaricci stuff and IOU shirts, and I was kind of, grunge was big back then. So I had the Doc Martens and the Levi jeans and the flannels and the long hair. So I was a cool kid. Alcohol use was pretty big in Iowa. Not a lot of marijuana, though it grows wild out there. The first time I saw a plant of marijuana, I was really excited. I grab it, hide it, and I find it's all these seeds. It's nasty. It's ditchweed. You can't smoke it. So my parents were out of town, and I was 14 at the time, and I took the tractor like 3 miles to go harvest some ditchweed. And on the way back, I was so like, the tractor only will go like 25. But so I thought I was okay. I was driving with my knee, looking at the bag of marijuana, seeing my score. And I went in the ditch with it, and it fell on its side. That was my first accident driving something. More to come on the accidents. So we're in high school, and alcohol is big in Iowa. So naturally, we go to a keg party down the way, and this was probably the perfect night. I had probably 3 or 4 beers, had a nice buzz. A nice girl said she liked me, so we hooked up. I was the driver of that party, so everyone was in my dad's big black Chevy pickup truck. And I think almost every drunk after that, I was trying to recreate that perfect night where I had the buzz, I went home with the girl, and I was the life of the party. But that wasn't the case. So we're in high school, and I love to plan parties because I like to be in control, and it was something for me to do. So I would plan these keg parties with everyone. We would figure out how to get the alcohol. Luckily, we had someone's uncle was little gray area with the rules and the law, and he'd buy us alcohol. Zima was big back then. That's a hell of a hangover. We drank crazy. I remember during that time, I was drinking alcoholically. I hated running out of alcohol, and I would find, you know, we'd probably get a few cases, and I would take 3 or 4, and I would stash them, because no one wants to be out of alcohol, and I certainly didn't. And I was starting to black out then. In high school, I did lose my driver's license in high school. My parents, God love them, made me a deal. If I got A's and B's, that they would buy me a sports car. And I did it because what 16-year-old doesn't want a Chevy Camaro Z28? So I did that. First day it's in Iowa, though, I get caught drag racing. The cop was nice enough to give me a warning, but a few months later, my best friend and I had a few, and we raced home, and I got caught and lost my driver's license for the zero tolerance law. It was quite a high school education of alcohol and marijuana. Never did cocaine again till later. It was just basically alcohol and marijuana. I had started to start blacking out and become obnoxious during my drunks, and I remember my best friends taking me aside, asking me to slow down and just take a look at the way I was behaving. I did not like to hear this, and I think I gave them lip service saying, yeah, I would, but internally, who the hell are they to say I was drinking wrong? They were drinking with me. But when I was at the Freedom Ranch, it was, you know, going over these times in my life that opened up my eyes that maybe I had a problem. After graduation, I went to the University of Iowa to become an accountant. I did not get one grade. It was spent at the bar or at the girlfriend's house. I, for some reason, fear of like going to class, a new environment. And when I drink, I don't do anything the next day because I'm so sick. I was never a morning drinker because I'd be too busy throwing up in the toilet, and I would swear off drinking and it would work for maybe 12 hours, but right back at it. So I didn't get any grades there, but so after a while, the college will kick you out after like eight to two semesters with no grades. So I had to go back home. Parents weren't too thrilled, but they wanted to see me succeed in something. So I worked as a front desk clerk at a Best Western and continued to drink quite heavily. I remember one night with a party with some girls, and I drank a bottle of Southern Comfort, drove them home, and I got them home, and on my way back to the apartment, I was taking a turn and I was playing with the radio and I crashed into a state trooper's house. Oh. Yeah. I managed to quickly pull it in reverse and get to the apartment, take off my clothes, and hit the couch. And then like 10, 15 minutes later, I get a knock on the door. And they asked me where I was, and I played dumb. I said my car must have been stolen. They gave me a breathalyzer, and I blew a .34. So this was 20, and I was blowing a .3. I was able to talk and walk. I was probably 120 pounds then. The cops weren't able to prosecute because I was not in the car at the time. Maybe the state trooper didn't want. I don't know exactly what happened, but. Nothing happened to that, except a week later, my family comes by, wants to take me shopping. This is odd. Then to lunch. And when I get back to my apartment, a sheriff's car is there, and they have signed me up for rehab. In Iowa, it takes two to commit. And they had committed me to a rehab. And off to Iowa City I went. For my first stint at rehab, it was a 30-day treatment facility in Mount Pleasant, Iowa. I remember the only thing I remember of the big book was that at the end of my treatment, we signed it like a yearbook. That's the only thing I remember. Anyway, it was kind of odd. But I do remember staying sober for 6 months, did not get a sponsor, but kind of realizing that, you know, not everyone hits a state trooper's house with their car. But without the big book, without working the steps, and without a sponsor, it wasn't soon after I was back to drinking. And then I remember, like, in Iowa, there's a lot of gravel roads, and they're basically in a grid pattern. I would, after work, I would buy a 12-pack and just cruise gravel roads with my radio going for hours. And I am so lucky not to have killed anyone during that time. Not too long after that, it was my family wanted me to go back to rehab. They did not take me out shopping again or out to lunch. I went straight to rehab. I agreed. This stint, same place, Mount Pleasant. I was the pool playing champion. That's the biggest thing I remember of that second stint at rehab. I must not have really been paying that much attention. Both of those big books I still have in Iowa on my shelf, and it's kind of fun to read the notes, what people were saying. And it doesn't seem like anyone was really taking it seriously. But you never know. Around this time, college was not in the books, but I could work as an accountant for my father at his firm and farm in Iowa. So I would fly back and forth from Iowa to Los Angeles every 2 weeks, and that was interesting. Here I learned that I liked methamphetamines. It was cheap. It was an upper, so I could stay awake and work on projects for days at a time. And I would transport that stuff on the plane, taped to my thigh, for years. And it was, I can't believe I got away with some of that stuff. Around this time, because of the methamphetamine and the grandiose behavior that comes with it, I thought that work was not in, I didn't want to work, that I was too good for work. I was too busy with these projects in my garage. Let me tell you, I came up with some doozies. I built a flight simulator out of PVC pipe that would rotate and move, plans from the internet. That was a lot of fun. But I moved out of my family's house, and one night, while smoking a little methamphetamine, I had a pen torch going, and I caught myself on fire. And that was a wake-up call to stop the meth. And I called my dad and said, you know what? I've really been screwing up in life. I want to fly airplanes. And I found this flight school in Arizona, Embry-Riddle. It was like a one-year program. What do you think, Dad? Can you give me some money to do this? Because I wasn't working. And God bless him, he did some research and found a four-year university up in North Dakota, University of North Dakota, Fighting Sioux, up in Grand Forks. And I went up there to learn how to fly. My whole thought was, I'm going to stay away from the hard drugs, I'm going to stay away from the marijuana, and I'll just drink alcohol. And I did. I got straight A's that first semester. I got a foreign exchange student girlfriend the second semester, so I got 2 A's, 2 B's that second semester. I was a little busy doing other things. And things were actually kind of looking good for Dave. Was able to get my private pilot's license and managed to curb my drinking to just the weekends. And anytime I kind of scheduled my drinking around my flights. I had like 2 or 3 flights a week and would give myself 48 hours from drinking to fly. That next summer, we were out at the family farm getting the horse ready to see the vet. He was a little skittish and he bolted and he stepped on my dad's foot and he had to go to the hospital to get a pin put in his leg. And a few weeks later, a blood clot went through his bloodstream and lodged in his brain, and he was paralyzed from the eyes down. And we had to take my dad off of life support, and it was very sad for us. It was a very sad time. It was so unexpected. He's paralyzed from the eyes down, and we would ask him questions just to make sure that he was there, and he was really paralyzed, and he answered every question, and he just didn't want to live like that. So that was a hard summer. I went straight back to what I knew best: alcohol, marijuana, and meth. It didn't take care of the pain. It quelled it. It had put a blanket on it. You know, I didn't have to feel it for a while. Though I remember some nights at that bar, I would be in tears with my friends. So I don't know how well that was working. And lo and behold, that next semester, I withdrew from most of my classes. I didn't get any Fs this time. I was smart enough now just to withdraw. excuse me, I need some water. So here, I get out of North Dakota and come back to California. My sister is gracious enough to let me to stay with her for a little bit. This is my first low voltage job that I get for San Diego Automation. I get to run around with wires and hook up internet, and it's the tweaker's dream for me. It's a lot of fun, but my sister, living with my sister was difficult because I couldn't do things my way. She slept at night. I didn't want to sleep at night. When I drank, I wanted to crank Metallica to 11. She doesn't like Metallica that much. So my brother is up at my grandfather's taking care of him. My grandfather has beginning Alzheimer's. So I come up with a plan to move in up there with them because I could probably do things my way up there with my brother. So I move up there, and this is that year is just constant drugs and alcohol. My brother was liked crack cocaine and heroin, and I liked alcohol and meth, and we fought. One was going down, I was up, and we just fought like crazy. Thank God there was a little bit of sobriety between the two of us not using, that we were able to feed my grandfather, bathe my grandfather, and take care of him somewhat, though not very well. But during this time, I met some people who were selling computer parts who claimed to be in the computer hacking group Anonymous, and they start to tell me how the United States government is terrible and how they want to blow up things. Most alcoholics or meth users think the cops are after them. I was special, and I thought I was working with the FBI. I think I had been up for so long and had been in my head for so many nights that I really believed I was working for the FBI. I would write out manifestos to them and what was going on with my friends, and I would put them in a FedEx package, and I would go out like 2 in the morning, and I'd stick them in the planner, thinking that they would come and pick it up. Have you guys ever seen The Beautiful Mind? It was kind of like that. I was able to take the chaos and make sense of it all. And I would call my mom and say, don't worry, I'm working with the FBI. And she would just be out of her mind, scared about what her son was saying to her. So it wasn't too long after this of a year of taking care of grandpa, working with the FBI, I knew someone in the back of my mind that this was all kind of just made up in my head, so I took a trip to Santa Maria, to the FBI field office, rang their doorbell, and I presented all this information to them. And they kind of looked at me like I was nuts, but took the information anyway and wished me on my merry way. And off I went. It wasn't too long after that the sheriff came to my house. They wanted to know further in detail about what was going on, and they took me to the police station and made me pee in a cup, and found out that I was high on methamphetamines, and my mother was called because I was the one caretaking for my grandfather. By the time I had gotten out and walked back home, she wished she had been there. Was not very happy with what was going on, and she did not want me taking care of my grandfather anymore, and that, you know, you need to get help. So now begins my journey. I didn't have nowhere to go. I probably had like $300. I had a backpack, and I had two pairs of clothes. I made it to Los Angeles because I had a whole bunch of friends there, and I figure, you know what, maybe I can couch surf. So I couch surfed for a while, hoping, praying, dreaming that everything was just going to work out. I've always been a dreamer. I've always just felt like everything was going to work out. I was a big talker. I loved going to the bars. I loved doing lines and talking about the future that's never happened. Okay, I made it to LA. My friends get tired of me. My family at this point, my mom and my sister, do not answer my phone calls anymore. They're kind of just sick of it. I'm at Union Station in Los Angeles, and the Union Station is beautiful architecturally, but it's kind of scummy. A lot of homeless going on there, and crime. And I find myself homeless on the streets. And I quickly realize that I am not built to be homeless. I grew up in Palos Verdes. My family. I'm just not built to be homeless. I remember I couldn't sleep, so worried about getting stabbed. All I had was a backpack. I don't know what they would steal, but it was scary. And I had remember when that first Low Voltage job, there was this guy who would not shut up about AA. Dan Varner, the San Diego Wirenut. He'd ask me these questions about how I used and drank, and he would be like, the Freedom Ranch. If you ever have a problem, give me a call. And I called him from Union Station. So serious. I was scared out of my wits. Dan, I've had enough. What should I do? He made a funny off-color joke. I wasn't happy about it. Dan being Dan and kind of teaching me that there are no more big deals in life, but I was not ready for that yet. And he said, you need to go to the VOA down in San Diego. I said, okay, I can do that. I have $80. The train will get me to Oceanside. Can you pick me up? And I go in and have my last beer at the Union Station bar. It's like an $8 beer, and I drank half of it. Halfway through, I'm like, what are you doing? And that was my last beer. And I get to the VOA, where all they do is feed you cake to get you fat. And I really read the big book for the first time. I'm sure I read it before, but this time I have an open mind. Though I am so strung out and so like shaking from the DTs that I don't have the clearest head, and I still think I'm being watched by the FBI. When I read the big book for the first time and the director part, it clicks in me. Holy snikes. That's me. I love to be in control. I love to direct people around. Right? And it just kind of clicks with me. And unfortunately, the VOA is only for 14 days, but Dan has scheduled an appointment to go to the Freedom Ranch that next weekend, and I have to get a TB test. So I don't have a car. I walk from the VOA to I don't remember. I had to walk north to get this TB test, and Comic-Con is going on, and I'm like, wow, I love comics. I'm a nerd. I've always wanted to go to Comic-Con. If I get the sobriety, I'm gonna go to Comic-Con one of these times. The Freedom. Dan tries to sell the Freedom Ranch as this place that has golf, mini golf, and you can feed the animals. And so I'm like picturing this luscious farm with rolling green hills, and I get there and it's all brown, and the miniature golf is in dirt. Are you any ranchers here? There we go. I got a hat on. All right. I was taken back, and you're there with 50 dudes, which is hard to do. But it was looking back, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. He convinced me to stay there 4 months, though I fought him every step of the way. At 3 months, I thought I had it, you know. Though there's two helicopters that fly over there, Army helicopters, and I, at that point, I still thought that they were just making sure that I was there and I was doing the right thing. The Freedom Ranch is a beautiful place. You don't have to worry about a job. You don't have to worry about the girl, though some guys, I guess, are doing. I certainly wasn't worried about the girl at that point. And I just had this open mind as I read the Big Book, and I, you know, got with some great dudes, and I had this notebook, and I poured myself out onto this notebook. During this time, my grandfather passed away, and I get a phone call from Dan saying, "Hey, your mom called me. Your grandfather passed. She doesn't want you to come to the funeral, but she knows that you love her." And I remember just feeling this anger that, hey, why can't I go? Why can't I go and be there? Who is she to tell me I can't go to my grandfather's funeral? But I had an idea that maybe this whole spirituality and prayer, I should give it a shot. And I prayed for a proper response to my grandfather passing away, and I immediately found this peace and calmness, and I started just reflecting on the good times I had with my grandfather, and the want to escape the Freedom Ranch and go to Paso Robles left me, thank God, and I stuck it out at the Freedom Ranch for 4 months, and I was introduced to the 12 steps. Got a great foundation of what each step meant. Had both AA and NA meetings, and found my home in AA. NA is a little more chaotic. I like a little bit more structure. There would have been a lot of crosstalk in an NA meeting tonight. I didn't hear any crosstalk from you guys. Thank you. Yet. So I found my home in AA, and here I found out that alcohol and the drugs were just a symptom of what's going on in here. So it really didn't matter that I could replace alcohol with drug use or vice versa, that the problem was here. And then came the time to leave, and I met a wonderful gentleman named Jack Warner, who was gracious enough to give me a chance here at South Bay Pioneers. Here at South Bay Pioneers, I felt like it was here I have this knowledge of the steps. Now I need to practice it. I went to meetings, and I met some wonderful people here. They thought I would be a good cook. I wasn't, but thank you for sticking it out. And it gave me a job, my first job in sobriety over here, and I was able to listen to those noon meetings. And it was just really a blessing. And because I was working there, and I don't know how many hours a week we worked, but it was 20 hours maybe less, I was able to study for my computer certification upstairs and network with some of you fine individuals and go into your homes and fix your electronics. And an idea was formed up in the green room to own my own business one day and become a low-voltage contractor. I also, during this time, I went to Comic-Con. I fulfilled that dream. It was a big deal. It still is a big deal, in case anyone wants to go. And during that time, Metallica was playing at the Spreckles, and it was like a free concert. But I had to be back by 9 or 10 o'clock here. I don't remember the curfew. Maybe 10. But I couldn't go to Metallica. But I said to myself, you know what? When I have some money and I'm out of here, I'm going to go see Metallica. And I've probably seen them half a dozen times. And I splurged for the good tickets, general admission right there on the floor, and I'm 7 rows back, and it's the greatest feeling ever. I have a lot of fun with it. It was here I also started my financial amends. I had in the 500 credit score when I started these financial amends, and I think we checked the other day, it was 810. So in 12 years, it's quite a big jump of just, you know, taking care of business. And like the accumulation of stuff. I have a picture of me leaving South Bay Pioneers. I had 3 blue trash bags worth of stuff. Now, I guess at the Freedom Ranch, I came with a backpack. And then from here, I had 3 garbage bags worth of stuff. Then when I moved into my first apartment, it was a small U-Haul. Now, these days, I'm going to need a serious U-Haul. I got weight equipment, a lot of Metallica stuff, Star Wars figurines, a lot of crap. And this, I had like this list of stuff that I wanted to get back. Because I had a backpack when I got sober. I had nothing. But I had this list of all this stuff I wanted to get back. And halfway through of getting back that stuff, I'm like, I don't really want this stuff. I want new stuff. I said, you know, this is new me. Though if you come to my house, I do have a lot of Star Wars collectibles and Metallica posters. Apparently those are going away soon. I wasn't perfect resident at South Bay Pioneers. I liked watching movies to this day, and I loved like snacking on gummy bears. And it seemed every time that I would come in, Floyd wanted to search my backpack. And he would always catch me. I never understood how he did it. But every time I snuck stuff in here, he got me. Thank you, Floyd, because you taught me to listen to directions. I used to fear that the clicking of your boots coming. Give me PTSD, still hearing that. And some of the great stuff that I've learned, my toolkit, my toolbox, I learned when I get up, I pray. This was difficult for me. My family was not religious, and I thought I was the center of the universe the first 35 years of my life. But I read some stuff on, you know, the Bible and the Quran and about Buddha and the similarities and the force that George Lucas came up with made a lot of sense to me, the force that surrounds and binds us. I held on to that, and that worked for a long time. But, you know, the similarities of all the religions I kind of gravitate towards now, and it's the, I know I'll never have an answer, but I like to search and come up with today what it means to me. The inventory at night plays a big part in my recovery today. Figuring out how I screwed my fellow man over, or didn't, for that matter. I think, you know, if we had a good day, we need to celebrate that stuff too. Making amends. Right off the bat, I had a list from the Freedom Ranch, and I thought I should, you know, tackle them all at once, but luckily my sponsor said, you know, some of these you should probably take care of, but there comes a time and a place, and it kind of just happens with the flow of the universe. And I have found that that to be very true. And I think for the most part, I've made my amends. If I've screwed anyone over here, you let me know later. Fun and sobriety was a big thing. My idea of a good time was staying up all the time, or going to the bar, trying to pick up ladies. And just getting annihilated. Right now, that does not sound like a good time. But 1 year in sobriety, yeah, that's what I did, and I didn't know how to have a good time. So I fell back on some of my old ways of going to the movie theater and watching movies. But I tell you what, the friends and family that I've made in AA and the events that we've done, like the Super Bowl parties, going to a baseball game, that Empire Strips Back was fun, has been a lot of fun. And I get to remember things. Like, I remember every sober Metallica concert. But before, I would just get so annihilated in the parking lot that I had no clue, but I remember everything. And my sister asked me to be the godfather of her children. Watching those kids grow up has been such a joy. And they never get to see Dave drunk or high. And I can be a good uncle. They have Facebook Messenger now, and they call me every day, and it's just the cutest little thing in the world. They tell me all their day. They send way too many emojis, but we'll get over that. And another thing I've picked up is running. I would have never have thought that I would have been a runner, but I've done a full marathon and a few halves, and I would have never guessed it. I even convinced a few of you guys to do it with me last year. Thank you for that. And then, always working your steps. Okay, so a few years ago, I had a relationship issue, and I thought I should probably rework the steps with a new sponsor and have it kind of relationship-focused. Maybe some of the resentments I missed before. So I met with a gentleman named Frank B., and I went through the steps, and kind of relationship focused. And not 6 months later, I met a girl at an AA picnic, and I just feel so lucky in life. Even if I get to lose my Metallica posters. And the... the biggest gift, the nieces and nephews, having them in my life is a big gift. Being able to look in the mirror and smile at myself is huge. Not looking in the rearview mirror. Not when two helicopters do fly over. Not thinking crazy thoughts. So I found that talking to someone and taking the power out of it is huge. There are no more big deals in life. And face things head on. I was a master at like sweeping things under the rug, and I loved hitting that reset button over and over again. And I don't have to do that anymore. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I love you all. I made it way past 8 minutes. That's pretty good. Thanks.
I loved it. I just loved it, I gotta tell you. If anybody knows Mel Gibson, Lethal Weapon 5 co-star right here. That's it. So with that, I'd like to thank the residents of the house and the Women's Auxiliary for the fantastic dinner tonight. And if Dave will lead us out with the prayer of his choice.
Okay.